Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on incorrigible delinquency when we come back. You know, here's an interesting statement. It says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's in Acts 5, verse 29. You know, that's a pretty revolutionary concept. And it's impossible to put into practice unless you know the law yourself. Imagine, can you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state? Now, you know, there's actually three laws that support Peter's position here in Acts 5:29. The first one is Public Law 97-280. Second is the First Amendment. And the third is Seeger versus United States. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position, let's say on the census or public school, Social Security, vaccinations, or the many other laws of the scripture that conflict with the laws of the civil law state? And do you know how to look them up, research them out, code plead the law, to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal incursions into your federal and state constitutional rights? And, you know, if you don't know the scripture and you don't know the law of the state, then you're in no position to challenge either one, are you? Now, if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, our school, our Mosaic Law School, is available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, then just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it, before you forget. All right, we've been talking about this thing of incorrigible delinquency, and I thought I'd take a look at delinquency and children from the perspective of the Bible, because the Bible has a lot to say about children, and it has a lot to say about discipline and correction. And I pointed out that years ago, when I was a kid growing up, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, that we didn't have any juvenile delinquency to speak of. You might have had some in the cities and one thing or another. I'm talking about up in the countryside, little small towns. There weren't any juvenile delinquents. None of the kids were ever picked up and put in jail. Never had any drugs. We weren't out stealing parents' drugs out of the medicine cabinet. Hell, people didn't take drugs. I'm not even sure we had a medicine cabinet. Now, my granny, she knew about herbs, and she knew about food, and she knew about healing and, you know, childbirth and things like that. And you know, people used to take care of themselves. Today, you got to have a doctor, of course. You got to have a professional. And if you've got a child and you don't take your doctor or take your child to the doctor, they call that child neglect. Who calls it child neglect? Hell, I was never taken to the doctor. I never had a pediatrician. I never had braces on my teeth. You know, things have changed here in the United States. But then when I was a kid, we didn't have juvenile delinquents, and we didn't have juveniles in gangs, and we didn't have juveniles shooting people off of street corners and high-speed chases. I never heard of such a thing. Never occurred. Now, it's developed in this country over time, and so I thought, well, why? What happened here? Last time I mentioned, I have two little children. I had five, but I'd start off with these first two, you know, Ted and Kathleen. And I told you a story. I said, I took my children into this classy restaurant in Vallejo, California, and the maitre d' cringed when he thought, oh, my God, these people, I was wearing a suit and a tie. You know, my wife is dressed up, and we want to eat in this splashy restaurant. Now, this isn't McDonald's. Children do not eat in splashy restaurants. You know, people that eat in those kind of restaurants that serve crepe Suzettes, you know, they have a maitre d' and a wine steward and a butter boy. And I remember one time, buddy of mine, Bud, and his wife, Martha, and I and my wife, we ate at the top of the Mark. I don't know what it's like today, but the Mark Hopkins Hotel in San Francisco used to have a pretty splashy restaurant. And say, you know, you say to somebody, well, I'll meet you at the top of the Mark. And they had a restaurant up there. Sometimes people will eat at the top of the John Hancock Tower in Chicago, you know, a pretty splashy restaurant up there. Now, these restaurants cost a lot of money, and they don't have children's plates. I mean, when you walk in here, they don't have a children's menu. You know, you want to buy a hamburger and french fries for your five-year-old kids. You know, people that eat in those restaurants, they don't have five-year-old kids, number one. And if they do have five-year-old kids, they have babysitters. They have nannies. You'll take them. So we had children. We took them with us. We took our children. When I ate in the splashy restaurant, by God, my kids were right there with me. And I have been turned away. I remember one time I was in Harris, And I went into Harris, and the maitre d' saw the two little children. He says, "Oh, sir, sir, I'm terribly sorry, sir, but we can't allow children here in the restaurant. Perhaps, sir, you would like to eat over here, over there, over, you know, there's other restaurants, you know, in the casino that you can eat at with your children, but you know, you can't come in here." Just one time in my entire life, my entire career, I was turned away by the maitre d', even though I assured him that if you were dissatisfied, sir, you can just tell us and we'll get up and leave. And he didn't want it. But that happened one time. Now, I ate many, many times with my children in the restaurant. I never had a problem with my children in the restaurant. And that's because before I went to the classy restaurant, I would take my child and sit him in the high chair, and then he would fuss. And then I would say, no. Now, you teach this child. See, a child can learn no just like a dog can learn come, sit, fetch. Honest, I'm not kidding you. Dogs are smart. I don't deny it. But little children are even smarter than dogs. And frankly, once you learn how to train a child, in fact, it says so right here in the Bible. It says, if you train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I got that right from the creator of the universe. And so I looked at that and said, gee, that's surprising. I can train a dog. I can train a cow. I break cows to milk. I have little children, don't now, but I did. And I taught all of my little children to milk cows. Did you know that? I can remember I had two little girls here, one on the Cole and the other one was Savannah. And here they are about, I don't know, 3-4 years old. Just little kids. I'd set them on a 5-gallon bucket and their feet wouldn't even reach the ground. And they're sitting on the bucket under the cow learning how to milk it. And I taught my kids how to milk cows early on. Now, in order to do that, and cows are big. Oh, God, some of them get real, real, real big. Some of them are mean. Oh, I'm breaking one right now. Wild and a March hare. That cow. Now, I've been breaking cows for years, just like a lot of you guys have been breaking horses for years. And when I get through breaking a cow, a milk cow, you can put a little child under that cow, and that cow never raise her foot, never kick the bucket over. When I get through that cow. So, you know, if I can train a dumb cow, wild as a March hare, jumping fences, and you know, just raising hell with everybody, if I can train a cow to stand still so that a little child can milk it, do you think maybe I could teach and train that little child over there to stand still? So let me give you a couple of pointers here, and I'm going to show you here God in the Bible. I know this is kind of wild, but God in the Bible instructs us as to how to train children. You know, he doesn't get into it like Dr. Spock, but I mean, you know, he gives you some pretty good information here about how to do this. He said, you train this child up in the way it should go. Now, most of us, you know, in the old days, you know, we learned how to train dogs, and we learned how to train cows, and we learned how to break horses, and one thing or another. And so dumb animals are pretty intelligent. But honest to God, they really are. Cows are very intelligent. No, not as smart as a horse. I don't claim that. But, you know, they're still pretty smart, and they're crafty, and they're wily. And children are that way. Children are crafty, they're wily, they're intelligent, and they'll push you. They'll push. Cows will do that. A heifer, when you're breaking her, she'll push you and push you and push you. And so I have a club. I use a stick. In fact, what it is, it's an axe handle. I use an axe handle to train cows. And here's what I do. Let's say that I'm under the cow. Now, we start off by tying her legs. We tie her up first, hobble. They call these hobbles. And that's because it's kind of an unnatural, you know, for somebody to get under here and grab a hold of her teats and start squeezing and pulling, and so that's unnatural. She wants that calf on there sucking her, so when this unnatural human comes over here, then she starts jumping around, she gets kind of antsy. So I take my axe handle over there, and I wrap her along the bottom of her hocks. And I do that 2-3 times, and then pretty soon she associates, here's the cow now, this cow will associate the pain from the axe handle wrapping her bottom leg, where it's all bone, you know, not the bottom, with her dancing around. Now, when she doesn't dance around, kick and jump, I don't wrap her. When she jumps around and wraps and kicks, then I wrap her. See? And pretty soon she associates that. And then every day I come in, I'm training this cow, and every day I take my axe handle and I rub it up and down her leg. And that's unnatural. And then so she'll kick. And when she kicks, I wrap her. And the harder she kicks, the harder I wrap her. And when she stops kicking, then I don't wrap her. And then I rub the stick up and down her leg. And pretty soon, she associates this. It doesn't take too long to do this either. When she feels the stick rubbing up and down her leg, if she kicks, she gets hurt. And if she doesn't kick, she doesn't get hurt. And pretty soon, she figures it out. She says, if I don't kick, it don't hurt. But if I kick, it hurts real bad. So I'll stop kicking. Remember, we don't want this cow to kick this little child underneath the cow. So we have to teach this cow, no, no, no kick. Don't kick, cow. Okay. And that's the way we break them. See how that works? Now, I know social lady over here, she's going to cringe. But, you know, I don't know of very many people that would put a child under a cow to milk them. I'd take you out here and say, well, here's a dairyman over here. Have you got any cows over here that you'd let a 4 or 5-year-old kid milk? No, I don't know of any. And that's because most dairymen, when they break them in for a commercial line, and those cows kick once in a while. They've never been trained like I train cows. When I get through breaking a cow, that cow is broken, and it's ready for anybody to milk. I mean, it's a family milk cow. I break and train family milk cows. Children, women, men, anybody can milk them. Cow ain't gonna lift her leg off the ground. They can learn. Now, boys and girls, cows are really dumb. I mean, they're not intelligent. They've got some intelligence. They've got some smarts, but nothing like human beings. It's just like night and day. Now, when you go to train a child, you do the same thing. Child is acting up, and so you swat them on the butt. I'm not advocating child abuse. I'm not advocating that you beat this kid until you kill him or beat him senseless. I'm saying this child is out of control. He's wild as March hare. He doesn't know. He doesn't have any control. He starts off, he doesn't have control over his bowels or his bladder. He wets his pants. He messes his pants. It's because he needs to be taught and trained. You know, as time progresses along, he learns how to go to the bathroom. He learns how to use the toilet. He learns how to take a bath, a shower. He learns how to keep clean, comb his hair, clean his fingernails. All of that has to be taught. Now, you can teach a child to sit still. Now, my dad started me off, and he would tell me to sit in a chair. And so, okay, so I go over and I sit in the chair. Well, you know, children, they get fidgety. They get tired of sitting in the chair, so they get down. And I got down, and my dad said, sit down in that chair. And you do it in a stern voice. Sit down in the chair now, little Johnny. You know, no. You got to have the voice and the voice inflection. See, there's times when you're being silly and playful with your child, and then there's times when there's business. And when there's business, you use your business voice. My dad had a business voice. Now, you know, I'll sit down in the chair, but I'm tired and I'm not going to do that anymore. So I get out of the chair. I'm tired of sitting in this chair and I ain't sitting here no more. And so I get out of the chair. So my dad comes over and pulls my pants down. This is always good because you see, the child's diaper or the child's pants cushions the blow. What you need is a good sharp rap, a sting to inflict pain. That's the objective here. A spanking, a switching is for the purposes of administering pain. This pain is for the purposes of education. You ever heard this old adage, you know, I'm going to use the Board of Education? Board of Education. They used to call that in school. They said, this is the Board of Education. I'll give you three swats. That's nonsense. That just teaches disobedience. What we want to do is we want to teach this child obedience. And they do this in the military. Except that the drill sergeant in the military, instead of starting off with a kid when he's under control, he's got this great big guy. He's 18, 20 years old, you know, great big 300-pound guy. And this guy's not in control of himself either. And so this drill sergeant has a hell of a task in front of him. Trying to break this kid, you know, to mind. That's what the problem is. They don't know how to mind. So if you don't mind God and you don't practice the Ten Commandments, that's normal. That's the carnal mind. You don't know how to mind yet. So my dad, what he'd do is he'd swat me on the butt. See? Now, he didn't beat me. He didn't make any bruises. He just administered a little pain. And then with his business voice, he would say, sit down. Kind of like a dog, you know. And so now associating the pain, that was the pain on my butt, with the stern command, sit down, I would sit in the chair. Now, I don't want to do this. See, I don't want to sit in this chair. Didn't like it at all. And so I got down again. Now, about the second or third time my dad told me to sit down, it finally dawned on me, when I get out of the chair, there's pain. When I sit in the chair, there's no pain. Okay. Now, which would I rather have? Well, it depends upon how much pain. And so when I was a kid, we used to have various degrees of pain. Let me start off. Pain one was called a spanking. I'll start back. Pain one was called a swat, SWAT. That's just one swat. A little pain kind of tells you that there's more to come. Number two, there was a second level of pain called a spanking. You got spanked. Now that means your dad took your hand or your mama took your hand or granny or somebody took your hand and they paddled your butt. See, they would go bang, bang, bang you on your thigh. Okay, that was called spanking. All right. There was a third level. That's where they would take your pants down and then take a stick. Because a paint stick's pretty good. You know, you get one of these paint sticks, you know, from the paint store. It's pretty good for a kid, you know, about 2 to 5 years old, maybe six. And so then we used a stick, S-T-I-C-K. I'll write this down here. So you got the swat, the spank, and then you got the stick. Now, as you got a little older and bigger, you know, and kids, you know, they get out of control. I mean, and you get out of control in bigger and bigger ways. It isn't that you won't sit in the chair. It's that, you know, now you're playing with matches and you've been told not to. So, you know, when you've been told don't play with matches and then you're out here playing with matches, you know, you could burn somebody's house down. You know, you're 6, 8 years old, you know, and you're not quite old enough to build fires, but, you know, you're old enough to strike matches. And so as kids grow up, you got to train them and teach them as you go along. And so then we started using the belt. Now, my Aunt Bessie used a switch. She got a willow switch. Oh, my God, that thing hurt. I got to tell you. So I'm going to put number four here. This is the belt. And the reason a belt is so good because it's leather. And it really stings. I mean, it hurts. It inflicts pain. And the bigger this kid gets, you know, the more pain you got to inflict. I mean, this, you know, if you go over here and you take a 16-year-old kid and you swat him on the butt with your hand, you know, he's going to laugh at you like you're a fool. I was about, I don't think I got whipped after I was about 14. I don't know. No, by the time a kid gets to be about 14 years old, he should be pretty smart. I think about the last time I got it from my dad, I think I was about 14. I might have been 15. If I was 15, I was a little slow. Now, number five, after this belt over here, now you got to have fists. Now, what else are you going to do with this kid? You got to have nightsticks, fists, mace, maybe a stun gun. So before we get out here to where this kid is going to, I hear this all the time. Police, they have to use a stun gun. They have to use a billy club. Look, the policeman, he's the authority figure. When the policeman turns on his red light, that means stop. Can you understand that? Now, if you haven't had a swat, a spank, a stick, or a belt, you might not know how to stop when the red light comes on. Now, I just wanted to point that out to you that, I went through this, and so I put my children through it, and they turned out pretty good. None of them on drugs. I got one girl, she's a teacher over in Korea, and I got a boy, he's a paralegal in California. I got another girl, she's a CPA, and I'm just proud as a peacock. I'm glad those children turned out that way. And those children all got spanked, they got swatted, got a stick on their butt, and they all got the belt. And they can all mind, and they can all stop when the red light comes on. I haven't heard of a single one of them in a high-speed chase. So far, none of them have been arrested and jailed, sent to prison. And all of them can control their bodies. That's the surprising part, and they're all human beings, and they're all smarter than dogs. My children were all smarter than any dog or cow that I ever had to break or teach. That's why when I walk into a store and I see this kid over here, he's whining and crying and kicking and screaming, and he's stirring up hate and discontent in the restaurant over here, I look and say, those people don't know how to train that child. That's what their problem is. They've been listening to Dr. Spook over here saying they think that if you spank them, that you're beating them. They equate spankings with beatings. That's what Social Lady does. I'm not advocating that you kill them. I'm advocating that you train them. They need to be trained. So my dad would put me back in that chair. Now, I don't know how long it took him to do that, but I remember one time my dad said, sit in that chair. And I went over and sat in the chair. And about 4 hours later, somebody came in. I was sleeping in the chair. Came in and said, oh, you can get down. They forgot me. What happened? My dad, he said, sit down in that chair. And I went over and sat down in the chair. Now, dad left the room and he went out and did something else. Now, I had my instructions. See, I was told to sit in the chair. By God, I wasn't getting out of that chair. And I didn't. And so they told me, years later, here, I'm a little kid, 2, 3, 4 years old. I don't know exactly how old I was, but, and they came back 4 hours later or so, I think the story was, and here I was, little Georgie, still in the chair, and he's curled up, sleeping in the chair. Oh, I told him to sit in the chair, and I forgot him. All right, now that's training. I'll bet you drill sergeants out there just drooling right now. God, if I had soldiers that could mind like that, why, we could conquer the world. You policemen are sitting out there saying, my God, if people out there in society could mind like that, we wouldn't have any high-speed chases. We wouldn't have people being shot off the street corners. We wouldn't have juvenile delinquents. You're right. You wouldn't. And that's why young people, when they get old enough to have babies, by that time they should have been taught and trained when they were children. And then they ought to be taught and trained by social ladies and school teachers and others. This is the way you train up a child and the way he should go. Let me give you a couple more here. Here in Proverbs, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. This is Proverbs 13:24. Listen to this. Remember this old story? I told you this last time. I said, what is it? Withhold the rod to spoil the child. Oh, no, to spare the rod is to spoil the child. Well, this is where that comes from. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, people kind of changed that a little bit and said, well, to spare the rod is to spoil the child. That's essentially what that says. It's Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastens him betimes. Let's go back and talk about my dad now. My dad taught me to sit down in a chair. My dad taught me, come here, go there, sit down. These are called drills. My dad used to put me through my drills. You drill sergeants out there do that with your recruits, don't you? You're teaching this guy to obey your voice. Come here, stand there, sit down, stand up, turn around. And so you take him out on the parade ground and you teach this guy how to march, how to follow instructions. All right, that's what you teachers in school want. You want children that are obedient. Sit down. Now, when I was in the third grade, we had a teacher there by the name of Mrs. Wild. She was an old lady. Hell, she was in her 60s. I mean, a real old lady. When you're a kid, 8 years old, that's that old lady with white hair, wearing those crazy platform shoes those old ladies used to wear, back in the 30s. Listen, that was an old lady. Let me tell you, there was no misbehavior in Mrs. Wild's class. She had 30 students in there. At the end of the year, she had 32. 30 students in the class. Now today they call these big classes. She didn't have any problem controlling 32 kids, 8-year-old kids, all third graders, all rambunctious, jumping up and down, wanting to go out and play. Now today you'd say that these children have attention deficit disorder or they're hyperactivity. No, they're not. They're just normal, average, run-of-the-mill kids. The reason that they're drugging the kids up is because every kid that's taking this Ritalin is getting an extra $56 a day for the school because he's handicapped. Every handicapped kid gets more money for the school. That's why the school wants your kid on Ritalin. Your kid's probably pretty normal. somebody isn't disciplined and he can't sit still. And so a kid that can't sit still when mom or dad says, sit down, is a kid that when he gets into class, he can't sit still. He doesn't know how. He can't control his body. That's what the bottom line is. Now, when this kid gets to be 18, 20 years old, he joins a gang and he's got tattoos, he's taking drugs, he's driving a car, he's got a gun, and he can't control his body, can't control his emotions. Can't, his mind, his brain cannot rule over his senses, his five bodily senses. And so he's out of control. Now we got to have this cop, you know, this big guy over here to control this guy. And while he's out of control, he's killing people. He's robbing stores. He's doing all kinds of crazy things out here. And it all starts back here with God, who tells you that he that spares his rod hates his son. Now, of course, that isn't what social lady's telling you. She says, oh, no, anybody that would spank his child is a child beater. And he hates his child because he's beating him. That's exactly the opposite from what the scripture tells you. Now, you can believe social lady or you can believe God. I'm just here as a reporter. And I'm here to tell you that I could learn to sit in a chair. By the time I got to the third grade, I didn't have any problem sitting down. If Mrs. Wiles said, sit down, fold your hands, I could sit in my chair and I could fold my hands and I could shut up all at the same time. Yeah, I could do all three. I could sit down, shut up, and fold my hands. All three commands. I could do it all at the same time by the time I was 8 years old. Truth of the matter is, I could do it earlier than that, but Mrs. Wiles didn't have any problems with me. She didn't have any problems with any other kid in that class either, because she had a switch. Well, she had a stick. Mrs. Wiles had a stick. And this was about 1940, I don't know, 46, 47, something like that, 48 maybe. Third grade, I guess it was 46. And in those days, teachers could spank children in class. Furthermore, if the child misbehaved in school, she not only would spank you in school, she would send a note home with you, with to your parents, that they had to sign, and you had to return the next day, and I'll guarantee you, you'd get it at home. When I brought a note home from the teacher in school, I got the stick. See, you get graduated up. You can get a swat, you can get a spank, you can get the stick. I get the stick. As you got older, if it got worse and you couldn't learn with the stick, by God, the old man bring the belt out. And when it got down to where Dad had to come in, now see, Mom could pretty well take care of this. The teacher could pretty well take care of this. Any stranger on the street could pretty well take care of a kid on the street. We didn't have misbehavior because strangers on the street. You see, if there was an adult on the street seeing children misbehaving over here, something like that, they'd come right over there and correct them. Total stranger. They don't do that today. You wouldn't dare. You teachers in school, you don't dare put a stick on that kid. You got to send him down to some kind of a counselor or something over there. And then this kid, he doesn't miss that. He can see right away, you can't spank me. You can't control me. Hey, that's the wrong signal. That's the wrong signal. If you get a cow out here and you're trying to break her and that cow can run through you, she can jump the fence, you can't control that cow, you can't break her. Bottom line, that isn't going to happen. You dare not then let a little child milk that cow. You better not send your wife out there or your 12-year-old daughter to milk that cow. That cow's liable to hurt her, maybe even kill her. I mean, now, my cows don't do that because I train them. I break them. I was trained. I was broken. I don't think that my dad broke my spirit. But when my dad said, sit down, I said, yes, sir. And, you know, that's what God expects. That's the standard that society, civilized society, expects. And if you can't behave to that level, then you have incorrigible juvenile delinquents. You have children that grow up to be great big people, great big kids. They're 14, 16 years old with tattoos, rings in their ears. They don't mind. They don't come when you call them. They don't sit down when you tell them. Can't fold their hands. And if they don't get their way, they're going to get violent. And if they don't get their way, they get more violent. And if they don't get their way, they can get violent enough to kill people. Now, what are you going to do with people like that? Well, now we got to lock them up. That costs a lot of money to lock these people up for the rest of their lives. Do you know that? Hell, it costs you $35,000 a year to lock people up in prison. And you know, you take some kid, you know, he's out here shooting up his school and he's killing kids over here. You know, you got to lock these kids up for life. You know, you take some guy 20 years old and lock him up for 40, 50, 60 years. Have you ever done the arithmetic? That's $35,000 a year, and that's dirt cheap. I got to tell you, it's more than that in most places. But $35,000, that's the minimum to keep somebody locked up in prison for a year. Take $35,000, just multiply that times 40 years. That's $1,400,000. Hell, that guy probably ain't going to make $1,400,000 for the rest of his life. And it can cost a whole lot more than that to lock people up. You're taking the productivity out of your child, because you can't discipline this kid. And it costs money to convict him. It costs money to lock him up and let him go. Lock him up and let him go. Not to mention all of the deprivations that this kid causes, like the two children I told you about here in program one. Two little girls, 10 years old, cause $100,000 worth of damage by trying to burn their school down. You know, I never did try to burn the school down. I did some childish pranks. I got to tell you, I did that. Most kids will. They'll do some childish pranks. When you're 10 years old and you're out here playing with matches and burning schools down, you know, you're starting to get pretty damn heavy duty. Those two girls are out of control. And I don't know why those parents didn't have those children under control early on, except that Dr. Spook and Social Lady and the laws, rules, regulations, customs, usages, and practices are let these kids grow up like wild March hares and don't ever thwart their desires. Let them rule over their parents. And you know, that's what's exactly what God warned us about. He said, you know, children are your oppressors and women rule over you. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and then we're heard around the world in more than 112 countries daily worldwide over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, in case you're interested, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, 8 schools in all, family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. No children allowed. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And then we should remind you that these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, well, they're mine and mine alone. They don't represent the views, or necessarily, I mean they may, but they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about incorrigible delinquency. Let me give you a couple, three more pointers over here. You know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. This is God speaking. He says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. The rod of correction. Remember that stick? That's the rod of correction. Boy, I'll tell you, my Aunt Bessie could drive foolishness from my heart. I'm telling you, that woman would strike terror in the hearts of every kid in Corbell. Now, my Aunt Bessie was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she was a nice lady. And I got to tell you that she was just a sweet old lady. I can remember her, you know, as a little kid. And as an adult now, oh, that woman just drove me nuts as a kid. You know, just terrorized me. But looking back on it now, I say to myself, that woman loved me. I was cared for. You know how I know? because she spanked me. And that's precisely what God says. And he said that correction is grievous to him that forsakes the way. You know, when you don't mind and you forsake the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. Now, you know, when you get to the point where you just absolutely will not mind, and then you get into that high-speed chase, and you're shooting people off the street corner, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to be brought down to earth, and it oftentimes gets you killed. Learning how to mind is good for you. It was good for me. Now, correction is grievous, but you chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare for his crime. When this kid is crying and weeping and wailing and yelling and screaming because you spanked him, or you whipped him, you had to use the belt on them. You give them a good whooping. They call them whoopings down here in the South. W-U-P-P-I-N-S. It's a whooping. No, it's U-N-S. I got whooped. He didn't get whipped. He got whooped. Well, that's what happens. And you get to a point, you know, where you get so far out of control. Now, my dad would bring me under control, and he was a little rough. I got to tell you. My dad was kind of a rough guy. I was loved. My dad loved me. And remember, I told you a time or two, you know, he would take me, throw me into the wall. He'd bounce off the wall, fall on the floor. He'd whip off his belt and just wail the daylights out of me. All right, now, you social ladies are sitting out there saying, you see, that's what happened to you, Gordon. You've been scarred for life. You see, you have been abused as a child, and now you are a child abuser. Oh, that's not true. That's a lie. In fact, as old Mark Twain would say, it's a damn lie. Not true at all. Now, my dad wasn't a religious guy, and I don't think he ever got this out of the Bible. But somewhere back along the line, see, my granddad raised my dad. And my granddad was raised by his dad until he was 10, and his dad died, and he was raised by his Uncle Ed. And he told me about his Uncle Ed. This is my granddad now. My granddad told me about his, it was his Uncle Ed. It was his dad's brother. And he had to have a place to go, and they didn't have orphanages and foster homes in those days. And so, you know, when your parents died, then some other parent, some other family member would take you into their home. And so he went over to live with his Uncle Ed, and Uncle Ed had children too, see. Now, my granddad is not Uncle Ed's child. It's his brother's child. And there isn't the same bond between relatives as there is with a mother and her child, or a father and his child. And my granddad said that Uncle Ed really abused him. And it probably happened. I don't doubt it. And Uncle Ed probably abused my granddad. At least that's what my granddad said. When he whipped him, when he spanked him, when he corrected him, he always whipped him two or three times harder than he did his own children. Well, I don't know if that's natural or normal. It happened to my granddad, and he resented that. He resented Uncle Ed having done that time, didn't deal fairly with him. So it's a point to remember that the discipline should be handed out, dealt out justly. And in the Bible, judges are admonished not to take sides, not to spare. You deal with everybody fairly and evenly. So, you know, when I had my children growing up, I tried to deal fairly and evenly with them. You know, if I gave a hard whipping to my boy Ted, when I gave a hard whipping, I gave that same hard whipping to my daughter Kathleen. And depending upon, well, how bad did they behave? Well, now, you know, when you're a kid, you say, well, I don't deserve, or I don't think I deserved that hard a whipping. Well, you may be right. Maybe old dad whipped you too hard. There was a couple of times I thought my dad had whipped me too hard. I didn't think I deserved that much. But you know, you're going to survive that. In fact, here in the scripture, God tells you, whip over here to the next page. Yeah, you may get whipped too hard. No, withhold not correction from the child, because if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. He's not going to die because he gets whipped too hard. He may grow up and resent you. I mean, you know, your children may, you may have been too harsh. And that can happen. I don't deny it. But take a look at the results. Now, the results from my grandfather to my dad, and my dad to me, and me to my children. All of us, now that's four generations long here. So far, we've all stayed out of prison. I don't know of a single high-speed chase. I don't know of a single one that ever shot anybody off a street corner or got involved in drugs is causing any great problems out there in four generations. Now, that's pretty normal. And all of us in our families administered discipline. I don't know about my children and their children, but up until I had children, by God, you're going to mind. That was a word came from my dad. He said, by God, you're going to mind. And that was the stern voice. So here's God comes along and says, don't withhold correction from your child, because if you do, then you hate your child. You hate him. I wasn't hated by grandma, granddad, aunts, and uncles. I was loved by everybody. And I wasn't thrilled with the spankings and the whippings and the correction that I got and that switch from Aunt Bessie. I didn't like that at all. But now I'm an old man. I look back and I say, you know, they were exactly right. In fact, I'm not sure that my dad shouldn't have beat me just a little bit harder. Might have done me a little bit more good. If Aunt Bessie had laid that switch on me about five more times, that might have done even more good. And then I got it right here from the scripture. It says, withhold not correction from the child, because if you beat him. Now, they use the word beat here. This is the King James translation. And I'm not quite sure that we have beat down correctly here. You know, we use words like gay and sodomite. Now, those people aren't gay. Those people are sodomites. This word beating over here, I don't think is used today in quite the same way that was used when I was a child. Because we used to use, as kids, you know, we would go to school and would say, well, you know, what's going on? Oh, I got a beating last night. That meant that you got the belt last night. A beating was something that you got with the belt. A whipping was something you got with a stick. A spanking is something you got with the hand. A swat, that was a reminder. Wake up and smell the coffee, kid. So by the time it got down to the belt, that meant that you got a beating. Well, a beating today is where the policeman takes his nightstick and beats you unconscious, causes great big welts or breaks your arm and puts you in the hospital. See, we see a beating today as being excessive. Well, that's not what I'm advocating here. I don't think that you should break your children's arms. I don't think you should shake little babies until you break their necks and kill them. That's not what we're after here. I'm suggesting that by the time this kid's old enough to walk, you know, about 18 months old or so, this child is old enough now to learn to come here. He's old enough now. He's got a brain now. It's functioning. He's starting to learn some words. And as he learns these words, you know, the word no is a very important word for children to learn, especially little children. You know, you've got a little kid over here, and he wants to run over, and he wants to touch this and touch that and touch something else. And I told you about my cousin, Carol Ann. She came into the living room in my grandmother's house, and there's three little dogs there. And these three little dogs, porcelain, I guess they were, plaster pairs or something. I don't think exactly what they were, but they're just little ornaments just sitting on the coffee table. My granny had doilies that she crocheted, and all of the furniture had these doilies and thingies on them, just, you know, bric-a-brac and knickknacks. And my granny, she had some pretty expensive little knickknacks and things, you know. And children didn't touch those things. It was against the rules for us to touch them. We could look, see, but we couldn't touch them. And that's because little kids, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, you know, they pick up these dainty little thingies over here, and they don't know how to handle that. So they break the handles off the teacups, and they break little ears off of these little thingies over here. And some of these things cost a little money, and Granny doesn't like that. Makes her unhappy. And so anyway, Carol Ann, she came over, and she played with the little, and sure enough, she tore the chain. I think the chain was in the dog's ears or something like that. Broke the ear off the dog and broke the chain. And so she got her hands slapped. I mean slapped. No touch. And she cried, and she howled. Now, from that point on, I don't ever remember my cousin Carol Ann ever touching those little dogs again or touching anything else. So when we came in, now watch this. You can go into Toys R Us. Just go into any store. And the kids are running up and down the aisles, and they're taking stuff out of the boxes, and they're taking stuff down, and they're playing with it, and they're breaking it. And one thing, and their mothers can't keep them under control. Have you ever watched that happen? What do you think that kid's going to do, you know, when he gets 10, 15, 20 years old? Now, again, you know, most of us, we try to train our children up, and we try to give them some education. But there's, I say most of us. I'm not sure that it's most anymore. It used to be most of us. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, here's an admonition. It says, fathers, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the eternal. Don't just kick and beat this kid until he just hates you and everybody around you. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Spend a little time with them and educate them. I had a boy and a girl, Kathleen and Ted, and they got to be about 15 years old. And so like my dad did me, I took them up into the foothills around Boise, and I said, we got to learn how to drive a car. I took them up, taught them how to drive. When they went to school, the school wants to teach your kids how to drive. And they've got ways to do that. It used to be when we were children, we learned how to drive. And we learned how to drive on the public highway. Mom and Dad took us up on an old county road. That was my dad now. He took me out on the Falk Road. And we're up on the old Beatrice Highway, the old highway, and you know, where there's no traffic, some old farm road, and drive up and down the road and learn how to shift and one thing and another. That's a father who's educating and training his child up in the way that he should go. That's what I'm advocating. Don't provoke these kids to wrath. Don't beat them, you know, until they hate you. Don't beat this kid over here until he's in the hospital. That's excessive. But don't spare the rod. Remember, there's a balance that has to be found here someplace. In Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, for whom God loves, he chastens. This is the God of the universe now. Now, we're about to go through a chastening here in the United States. We, Western Anglo-Saxons, the Americans, the Australians, the New Zealanders, and the Canadians, the four of us. And then add into that Mother England and the brothers and sisters. That's France, Holland, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Germany. All right. That's our family. We're the Anglo-Saxons. We are the Israelites. And we're about to get chastened. It's called the Great Tribulation. When this chastening comes, it's because we're out of control and we can't do what we're told. That's what our problem is. A lot of times people call the law school and they say, why would God do this? And he's going to do this because he loves you. And it's going to hurt. You people are going to weep, you're going to wail, and you're going to gnash your teeth. And when it's all said and done, you get to the other side of it, 30,000 years from now, we'll come back to our class reunion, and all of us will be able to say, that was good for us. We needed that. We were out of control. George Bush and Dick Cheney, those are the people we follow. We're not following God. We're not following the Ten Commandments. We're following the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And it's always led to rack and ruin for everybody that's ever done it. And it's going to lead us to rack and ruin. So God now, he's going to punish. He is going to chasten and scourges every son whom he receiveth. He, or if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's a pretty strong statement there. Listen to that again. God says, if you be without chastisement, if you don't have discipline, if you don't have correction, whereof all of us are partakers. All of us have grown up like wild weeds, without discipline, without the kind of direction that we ought to have had. Then are you bastards and not sons. Now, the father chastens the son that he loves. Social lady practicing communism says, oh, no, no, never chasten your son. Never chasten your daughter. Let them grow up like wild weeds. All right, now you got a choice to make. Make your choice. Now, God, you know, he comes along and says, I think you'd be better served if you followed directions and listened to me. I've been around for 35 million years. I've been raising kids for a long time. I kind of know how it works. And then, of course, we're all sitting over here saying, ah, that old fart, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, go ahead and do your thing. But it's going to have a result. There's going to be an end that comes to it. And children that grow up and become incorrigibly delinquent, they need to be taken out and stoned to death as an example to everybody else. It's painful, and they're not going to like it. But when they come up in the resurrection, well, yeah, I guess I wasn't incorrigible. I guess I was out of control. And I guess I did need to be stoned to death. That's the point. Now, you know, there comes a point in time, well, I'm in a high-speed chase. I'm running away from the cops. And if they have to shoot the tires out of my car and the car rolls over four times and I get killed in this car wreck, well, I guess it needs to be done because I'm out of control. You know, a long time before you get that far out of control, don't you think you'd be better off if you started at age 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and got that kid, trained him how to sit in the chair, train him how to come here and go there. You can train your dog. I've mentioned this before. You know, people have dogs that behave better, trained better, mind better than their children. And their children are not being well served as a result of that. Now, there's two crimes over here that are punishable by death as we deal with this incorrigible delinquency. It's smiting of parents in Exodus 21:15. That's against the law. Against the law. That's where you actually physically hit mom and dad. We have a problem in the United States. They call this parental abuse. Parents have to go in and get court orders and restraining orders against their children to prevent their children from beating up on them. And you know why that happened? It happened because you didn't train this kid when he was 18 months old to mind. Now the kid's out of control. Now he's an adult. He's been disrespecting you. He wouldn't mind you when he was 2, 5, 9, or 11 years old. Why in the hell should he mind you now when he's 20, 25, 30, or 35 years old? Boys and girls, when I was 20, 25 years old, 30 years old, I never would have thought, it never entered my mind to raise my hand against my mother or father. It never entered my mind. I was trained better than that when I was a kid. And then this thing, when we deal with incorrigible delinquency over here, that smiting of your parents, just cursing your parents, talking back to them, being rude and obnoxious to them, is a capital crime, a capital felony. Hey, let's tuck that one away in our hearts and remember it. Hey, listen, I gotta remind you here that this is the end of the program. So I got to give you a reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour and editorial program, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 112 countries plus daily over the internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.